You know, it's great to have you here today. My name's Kurt, if we haven't met, and it's great to meet you. Great to have you at Cross Point. And, you know, that song does really tie into what we're talking about because there are so many things in our world that are vying for our affection, that are vying for our attention. And honestly, God is constantly saying, hey, I want your affection to be after my heart. And so that's really what this journey that we're on is all about. And we're looking at how God is calling us to be more and more engaged in what he's doing, creating conduits for spiritual freedom in our community, and how a part of that is us going to a different level of surrender. And so I don't know about you, but man, I've been tracking through the app, going through these last 2 weeks, you know, doing the personal prompts. It has been like a jolt of caffeine in my life. Has anybody else like felt like that? Anybody enjoying that? Oh, good. All right, a few of you. Yeah. You know, because it's hard. It is hard when we do difficult things like this. Those of you engaging. And let me just say, if you're here for the first time today, I mean, we're so excited that you're here. And your timing is impeccable. It really is. You have come to a church in the midst of a financial campaign. How cool is that? All right, what you never want to do. And yet, yeah, we're really glad you're here, though. And listen, I don't begin to believe that you're going to buy anything that we're talking about today. All right, but I do believe, and I've been praying all week, that if you're here for the first time, that you are going to walk away today realizing, man, I can actually hear from God. God actually communicates. God's a communicator, and he says things, and he speaks to me and guides me. And so I encourage you, that's my hope, is that that's your walk away today. So just as a recap, we're in this journey, and we've been talking about how Cross Point is at a crossroads. You know, we could stay right where we are. We keep doing what we're doing. We don't have to go left. We don't have to go right. You know, we could, you know, you guys are in nice, comfy seats, right? I mean, you got your nice kickbacks. You got your coffee in your hand. Great band, great music, nice videos of people, you know, sharing how God's working, just make us feel good. And I mean, we could just continue doing exactly what we're doing, which is why we're at a crossroads, because we never grow right there. And so we're asking the questions of these two streets intersecting of the spiritual, which, you know, there's something about looking at the things Jesus talked about most frequently. There's something really healthy doing an assessment and wrestling with the spiritual impact of money in our lives, which is what we're doing. And, you know, if you love Jesus, you know, all the love and all the stuff that comes with Jesus, you got to love the fact that he talked about money more than anything else in all of the Bible. You have to love that, and we have to wrestle through that. And then we're also dealing with this reality that, you know, for us to go to the next place of creating more opportunities for spiritual freedom, that one of the things that's required of that is additional infrastructure, which is an infusion of cash that allows us to continue to broaden our reach for what God has placed us right here to do. And so, you know, this is the journey we're on. We're asking the question, what does it look like for me, those of us who are connected at Cross Point, to give above and beyond what I'm currently giving over the next 3 years toward these initiatives? And that's what this campaign is about. And so on March 13th, we're going to have Commitment Weekend. And in fact, in your weekly today, you received one of these commitment envelopes. You're going to use this on March 13th. And listen, you can unpucker your butts, all right? We're not going to do anything with this today. This is just for you to hold, just for you to like get your hands on. I'm not going to ask you to fill this out today. This is for March 13th, all right? March 13th is Commitment Weekend. We're going to be saying, God, we've surrendered. We've been talking about surrender, talk a little more about that, and we've been listening, and now we're going to follow through on what you've been asking us to do. And so make sure you're here March 13th. It's also Daylight Savings Weekend, so it's the bad one where we lose an hour. So the best gift you can give that to God that day, first and foremost, is being on time that Sunday, all right? Set your alarms ahead of time. Make sure you're up and rolling. So for those of us who have been engaging, last week we looked at, you know, what is it that you want me to surrender, to put on the table of everything you've given me, because we realize everything we have comes from God. God, what does it mean for me to surrender that and put it on the table? My house, my finances, checkbook, savings, retirement plans, my family, my cars, my vacations that I love. And it doesn't mean I'm going to lose these things. It just means that in a moment of spiritual sanity, I say, God, all of this actually comes from you. In fact, as I was working through the prompts in the app this week, one of the questions, you know, which has just been awesome, I've really enjoyed that, has been, you know, when was a time that you surrendered and it actually created spiritual freedom, and how'd that go for you? And one of the things I wrote down and shared with my men's group this week was, you know, one of those moments for me was when we started this place. I remember, you know, starting Crosspoint from the very beginning. We had a 9-month runway to get things off the ground, and we were developing a team and raising resources and, you know, identifying leaders, you know, reaching people in our community that needed a place like Crosspoint. Said, "Hey, you want to join the team?" And it was just crazy busy, you know, crazy rush, all kinds of resources, our personal resources going out the door, you know, moving. We had a child in the midst of that. We had our third child 1 month before Crosspoint had its first preview. I mean, crazy season. And somebody asked me, they said, "Kurt, when did you know that Crosspoint was going to be a success?" And I said, you know, there was a moment that came when I just pretty much threw my hands up in the air and said, "God, whatever happens, it's yours." And I actually wrote about it. This is my journal from that particular season of my life. I'm not a huge journaler, but I wrote about it. And one of the cool things is I feel like God, his voice got really amplified in that particular season of my life because we just surrendered it. In fact, here's what I wrote. This is actually dated March 3rd, 2007. This is the night before Crosspoint's first public service. I said, "Tonight I can say we have followed your lead. God, we've developed a team. We've been obedient. We've sacrificed physically, relationally, emotionally, financially. We've sequenced through the launch process. And now, God, it's yours. We'll be satisfied with whatever you do. This is your church. We simply have the privilege to be a part of it." It was at that moment when I just said, "Hey, God, it's all on the table. It's yours. It's not mine," that I knew, looking back, that this thing was not based on me. And for me, that was like an emancipation proclamation right there. That was that moment where, you know, I just feel like God became really, really audible in my life in increased ways because I was saying, "God, this is all you, and I'm just open to whatever you want in my life." And I hope that's an encouragement to us today in realizing that, you know, God, the more we surrender and get on the table, the more amplified God's voice becomes in our lives. Because all these things are not standing in the way of us and God. And so today, I want for the rest of our time, I want to talk about how do we hear from God? How do we, you know, because God is a communicator. He's talking to us all the time. The problem is that we're often not in a posture to receive it. Even if you don't know God or have a relationship with Jesus, let me tell you what, God is regularly communicating with you. And so one of the ways that God most frequently communicates is through nudgings, urgings, little promptings. And most of the time that happens when we engage with God's word, when we get in the scripture. And see, God will never say something to us that doesn't align with what he says in the scripture, right? Jesus will never prompt us in something that his character and life was not about. And so one of the things we're going to look at today is this story about a kid by the name of Samuel that we find in the Old Testament. And Samuel, I really resonated with this story as a kid. Maybe it was because as a young boy, this is where Samuel was. And I first came in contact with this story as a young boy. And so Samuel is growing up, and he's going to be the mouthpiece for the nation of Israel. He's going to be the one who has this incredible gift of prophecy, who God speaks to, and then he takes those words and communicates those to the nation of Israel. So he's going to have a huge influence with God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. And in 1 Samuel 3, God shows up and begins speaking to Samuel for the very first time. And so Samuel has this mentor by the name of Eli. Eli's a priest, and so Samuel's kind of being apprenticed and being a priest. And so in the midst of his apprenticeship, he is staying the night, or maybe he's staying for good, at Eli's home. He's staying in another room of his house, and in the middle of the night, Samuel is woken up hearing his name, Samuel, Samuel. And as soon as he hears his name, he runs to Eli, his mentor's room, and he says, "Eli, Eli, what do you want? What do you need? I just heard you say my name." And Eli's like waking up. He's like, "Samuel, I didn't say your name. I've been sleeping. Go back to bed. Go back to sleep." So Samuel runs back to his room. He's just a little kid. And he goes back to sleep, and again, in the middle of the night, he hears his name again, Samuel. Samuel, he runs to Eli's room. He's like, "Eli, Eli, what do you need? I heard you say my name." Eli's immediately, he says, "Samuel, I did not call you. And you know what? If you wake me up again," actually, that's not in the Bible, if you know the Bible. That's me reading between the lines, because that's how Kurt would have done it, right? "Hey, if you wake me up again," so he says, "Go back to bed. Get back to bed." So that's what Samuel does. Goes back to bed. Three times this happens. Finally, on the third time, Samuel's back asleep. He hears his name again, Samuel. He runs to Eli's rooms. "Eli, what do you need? What do you need? You said my name." Eli said, "Listen, I did not call you." And then he has this moment of revelation. See, Eli's been, he's got a little more tenure than Samuel has. And he realizes, he says, hey, Samuel, maybe this isn't me saying your name. Maybe this is God calling your name. And so he gives him some wise counsel. He says, here's what I want you to do, Samuel. I want you to go back to sleep and leave me alone. That's what I want you to do. Actually, that's not in the Bible either, but that's what I would have said. He said, I want you to go back to sleep, and if you hear that your name called again, I want you to just simply say, speak, for your servant is listening. And so Samuel goes back to his bed, and again, he hears his name. And this time he wakes up, and here's what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. So Samuel is modeling for us right here what it looks like to hear from God, to hear words from God. You know, what Samuel is doing here is he's simply creating space in his life to hear from God. The first thing I want us to see today is when we engage with the Scripture, when we engage it with God's Word, we create space in our lives to hear from God. Right? Every time I engage with the Bible, every time I look to God for wisdom and I begin to read his words, I create space in my life for him to speak with me. Now, you're going to have some homework this week in the app to create space for God to speak to you through Scripture. Now, I think we've all experienced what this looks like and feels like in terms of hearing from God in one way, shape, or form, even though you may not know it. You may not be able to identify when that's happened in your life, so I want to kind of level this for all of us, all right? So I want you to think back. Those of you who are, you know, can think back to the 80s, you remember this thing called the Sony boombox? Anybody remember that? Sony boombox? You like walk around, you know, the Sony boombox. You know, man, I had one of these things. It was awesome. I was in junior high, and I know we live in the season of Apple Music and, you know, iPods and Spotify. So this is kind of old school. We're going way back right here. Do you, if you had one of these, do you remember how the only way to get your favorite song recorded was you had to set your boombox up and dial in a radio station and wait for that song to come on? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay. So you had to do some prep work, right? You had to actually go get this thing called a cassette tape, and you had to put that in the boombox. And for those of you that are 30 and under, a cassette tape is like, just Google it, all right? It'd be easier if you Google it. A cassette tape, and you'd have to like take scotch tape and put it over the tabs. You remember that? Like if it had already been recorded on. And so you'd put this thing in the boombox, and then you had to dial it into the radio station. And then there was always a delay when you'd record. You'd hit record and play together, and it'd delay. So here's what you do. You know what you do is you'd go and you'd hit pause, and then you'd hit play and record. So all you had to do was lift the pause button, right? Everybody remember that, right? Yeah, all right, most of you, half of you. So let me get real personal for a moment. I was listening to Q106 FM Rock On, Battle Creek, Michigan. That's what I was listening to. And I had it all set up. I'd done the pre-work. And I was trying to get a playlist for my girlfriend in junior high. And so what I was doing was I had everything set, and I was creating space waiting to hear that song. I wanna know what love is. You're like whole person, you know. I like wanted this song, and I don't know what your song was. It may not have been my song, but you remember what it was like to create space to capture that. That's what Samuel's doing when he hears from God. He's creating space, looking, anticipating God getting ready to say something to him. And so, you know, and when he does, he simply just says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." He's creating space, saying, "God, I'm expecting you to communicate with me, and whatever promptings I get, I'm gonna begin to follow those. I'm gonna see if they match with your character." And so, one of the reasons I love this picture of the radio, you know, and the Sony boombox, and you know, doing this as a junior higher is, you know, what am I giving space for? I'm giving space to tune my heart to him. That's what I'm doing. I'm giving space for God to tune my heart to his word, to his promises, to his scripture. I'm letting God tune my heart toward his words, my finances to his words, my motives to his words, my actions to his words. And this is exactly what scripture does. It's the whole purpose of why it's there, to shape us and form us. There's this guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. He's responsible for writing more of the New Testament than any other figure in the New Testament. And he is writing a letter to one of his proteges, a guy he's mentoring by the name of Timothy. And he says to him, hey, here's the purpose of the Bible. Here's the purpose of Scripture. Here's what he says. He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So Paul is basically saying, hey, the Bible serves this function of tuning our heart. Anybody ever had nudges or promptings or anything where you're like, man, maybe I should go do this or I should call somebody? Anybody ever had one of those, spiritual, unspiritual? Yeah, you're probably like, man, God, is that you talking to me or is that the pizza I just ate, you know, before I went to bed? Which one is it? Well, you know what happens is when we get involved in the scripture, it actually helps us discern, yeah, this is God prompting me right here because this is in line with his character. And so Paul's saying we can actually discern these little promptings, right? And so when we engage in scripture with this way, it teaches us, it trains us, and then there's also a few words in the middle we don't like very well, right? We kind of skip over them. Rebuking and correcting. We don't like rebuking and correcting. And yet Paul says this is also the role of scripture. You know, there's moments where we get corrected. We might have a certain perspective, and it says, no, this is actually the way it is. In fact, some of us are probably going through that right now in this journey where maybe there's some perspectives or some postures we have that are beginning to get corrected. See, when I was going through my list this week, if you did the app work, you listed out all the stuff, you know, that God's calling you to surrender, to put on the table. And I was working through that list. And you know what I found myself doing? I was like writing my list out and writing and doing this stuff and even more than what I brought onto this table. And I looked at that list. I'm like, man, I've got a lot of stuff. I mean, my list, in fact, I noticed my list is longer than the last two times I did this. See, every time we go through a journey like this, we go through this process of surrender. And I thought, man, Julie and I continue to tithe and give above 10%, and then we give to the launch campaign, and yet God continues to bring more and more blessings into our life. So there's more on my list. And you know what I found myself thinking? I started getting real, real proud of that list. I started looking at that list and going, wow, there's a lot of nice stuff there. Now, you may have more nice stuff than I do. In fact, that was my next thought. You know what I thought next? I began to think, oh my word, I bet so-and-so has a way longer list than me. And so it was crazy. In one moment, in one fell swoop, I went from feeling pride to feeling discouraged because my list isn't as long as somebody else. It's crazy. And then God nudged me. God prompted me on something. He actually showed me this scripture, which is another one Paul writes. It's the first letter he writes to Timothy, and he says this. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides with everything for our enjoyment. Everything. And so the first time I read this and I looked at this time, I had to wrestle with this key word in the first line, the word rich. Rich. Because, you know, if I were to come up to you and say, hey, are you rich? I'm not rich, man. There's rich people, a lot more than me, you know. My kids are like, Mom and Dad, are we rich? No, kids, we're not rich. Not rich at all. See, here's the reality for every single one of us in this room right now. If you ate breakfast this morning and you have any intention of eating another meal today, you're rich. If you showed up at Crosspoint this morning in a car, you're rich. At least by the global standards of the world. Right? If the clothes on your back aren't the only ones you have. If you have, say, some piled up at home or maybe lined up on these little doohickeys called hangers and they're all in this room called a closet, and you have extra, then guess what? By the global standards, you're very, very rich. And so what that means is we can't disengage with this right here. All right, we can't see this and say, oh, I'm not rich. Because guess what? In this room in America today, every single one of us are rich. And so, you know, what Paul's saying right here, all he's saying is tell them not to put their hope in their riches. That's what he's saying. Not that it's bad to have this. Don't put your hope in this. Because see those nudgings, those promptings I had this week where I'm prideful over my list in one moment and then discouraged the next because somebody's list may be longer than mine. I I'm looking at my checkbook, my cars, my family, you know, some of the vacations I have planned. And I'm thinking, oh my word, there's so much. And then the next moment I'm like, oh, I feel bummed because somebody else is going to a nicer place than me. And what he's saying is this is so uncertain, it can take you from feeling great to terrible. Don't put your hope in this. Don't put your hope in this. Another question we wrestled through this week in the app was, you know, what do I think God's teaching me through this journey? And man, I always hate answering that question. I'm responsible partly for writing this, all right? So, you know, I always hate answering my own questions. And so, you know, as I wrestled through that, I thought, you know, God is teaching me what it means to continue to trust. That's what he's teaching me. He's taking me to the next level so that I'm in a greater way increasingly more dependent on him. I think that's what God's calling me to. And I don't know what Julie and I are going to do with everything that we've surrendered. We put everything on the table, and we're in the process now of saying, okay, what, God, are you asking for back? What do you want to say, hey, you've enjoyed this, now it's time to redirect that to kingdom initiatives. And my hope as we go through that is that I don't put my hope in this, but my hope is in God. I want to be totally dependent on him. Now, one of the ways we get there is in community. And so we're going to have a community moment right here for a moment. We're going to see something on the screens. We're going to be encouraged by a few people that attend Crosspoint. They're a part of our team serving around here, Brian and Catherine Allison. And we're going to take a really cool look into their marriage and some of the ways that they have heard from God, been nudged by God, and they've actually followed through on that. So let's take a look at the screens.
We lived in the same home for all our married life. This home started out as a two-bedroom, one-bath, one-story home, and by the time we got done with it, it was a two-story, four-bedroom, two-car garage. We put a ton of blood, sweat, and tears into that home, and we remodeled it, and I said I was going to die in that home. In fact, they were going to bury me in that home. I was so adamant against moving. I'm a runner, and one day I was out running a path that I took every once in a while, and I saw a for sale sign. And I, at the time, didn't understand what was going on, but I came home and told Catherine, we need to move. And she's the only one that could explain to you how big of a deal that was. And after about a 6 or 7 month journey, we sold our home in Anderson and we moved to Fishers here in our home that we have today.
Well, that journey was pretty long, but it was very significant, and that was a journey that I felt like God was putting us through. When we look back at all of that, every step of the way, we saw his hand in there. And you know, at the time we didn't always see that, but we trusted him through a lot of hardships, especially we sold our house quickly, but the loan for the other people, it was very trying. They had a harder time, and it put us in kind of a position that wasn't good at times, and we just had to keep trusting God that would come through. But I just saw God's hand through it and saying, trust me, Catherine, I know what I'm doing. I always know what I'm doing.
That whole move was something that we felt that God was telling us to do. I really didn't quite understand that, though, until later on. And this is part of the Crosspoint journey in terms of what was taking us from the church we had attended for so many years to Crosspoint. We loved the church we attended. We had been very active there, but personally, for myself, I had gotten to a point for some reasons where I just didn't feel I could do much anymore. And when we got to Crosspoint, it really turned something on inside of me to say, you can do this. You've been a believer, Brian, for many years, since you were a child. It's time to give back in a way that you haven't done before. And Crosspoint afforded me that opportunity to really begin to rethink what was I doing with my life as it meant to serving the Lord. And it's allowing me to serve in a way that I hadn't been able to do, or I hadn't allowed myself to do for a long time.
When Brian and I first got married, the one thing that we always had for each other is the giving part. There was never an argument, never a disagreement on giving to the church. We felt very strongly that you would always give at least 10%. That's just a starting point. We also felt like, and try to teach our children, that everything we own is of God. And so we hold things loosely. You know, obviously we have possessions, but we hold it very loosely because we know it's his and he can take it away at any time. But I have a saying that I always keep in mind, that we're blessed to be a blessing to others.
Last fall, during the We Are Crosspoint series that we were going through, the church gave out a card, an I Am In card, and we were asked to write on that card what we thought our contribution would be to Crosspoint over the next year. And on that Sunday, I wrote down the amount that we were intending to give, the combined amount from our two salaries. And I put a little note on there, this is what we intend to give, assuming that I still have a job. After 27 years of service to the company that I had been employed with, I was severed in September of last year. And I didn't know if I was going to get another job or not. Interesting enough, I reapplied for a different job at the same company, but it was a two-month ordeal for me before I knew. Now, I wish I could say that I was a stalwart and just completely confident in what God was going to do, but Catherine could tell you that inside I was pretty much a wreck. I didn't know what was going to happen. This had never happened to me. But after a couple months, God provided, because I got rehired. It was as if I was never severed. But there was one clear thing that we learned through that regardless of what happened, regardless of what job I would or would not have, or what I would get somewhere else, we were still going to be faithful givers.
The one neat thing that I feel like Brian and I have done in our marriage as far as giving is that when we feel a nudge to give to an organization or a different missions, and we go separately and we pray about it and come back with an amount. And in many, many times, the amount is exactly the same. And it's very exciting when that happens, and we just feel like God is confirming that. And there's a few times that it isn't the same, but we discuss it and we always come to agreement. It's always a good thing, and I think that's pretty special.
So giving is more to us than just giving of our finances. Giving is giving of ourselves, participating, giving back. And when you do that, at least for us and for me, when we do that, we receive blessings in ways we don't even begin to understand.
It to me, is not doing your time, it's serving God in that capacity. And I know it touches my heart every week to be there. And the preschool room is where I serve, and the children are just beautiful, and I love to hope to think that we're planting a seed for them.
When we moved here, and I didn't understand all that why I was coming to Fishers in terms of a physical move, God blessed me in so many ways in helping me reconnect with Him by getting involved in things that I would never have gotten involved with. And now I'm beginning to see things that are taking place that just bring joy to me, but hopefully are impactful to other people. My passion is men's ministry, and I'm involved in different men's groups. And to see men that you know have just come to Christ, and that you, not that I had anything to do with that, because that's all God bringing them, but that you were helping them understand that process. I mean, that's just a blessing beyond description almost for me, because it's like, wow, God can use you by you being available and you telling God, yes, Lord, I'll be available to do what you want me to do.
Man, how cool is that? Let's thank Brian and Kathy for sharing their story. Thanks, guys. You know, I've watched that a couple times. Every time I watch it, I think of Hebrews 10. Here's what it says. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." That's exactly what they're doing right there. It's exactly, they're spurring you and I on. They're encouraging us. They're saying, hey, we're part of a community. Let us tell you what God has done in our life, and let us show you that, hey, you can hear from God. And when you hear from God and you follow and you lean into that, God blesses us. Now, it may not be in the way we think, but God always comes through. You know, when you came in today, you received one of these Game Change Vision Briefing documents. And this is something we've been handing out at the Vision Briefings. If you haven't had a chance to attend one of those, this will tell you a little bit about what Game Change is about. And you see the bottom line goal in there. Everybody's been like, what's the goal? Well, you know, we've not been talking about that number, because the moment we say, well, the bottom line of what we really, you know, feel like God's calling us to raise is $750,000 over the next 3 years, we go into fair share thinking. Oh, man, how many people have done Cross Point? You know, okay, my part is going to be this. Okay, bam, I'm going to pick a number. I'm going to, okay, you know, and that's something all of us have a tendency to do. And yet the moment we do that, the moment we just say, okay, here's my number. I want to be done with this process of surrender. I'm tired of the table. Why wouldn't I just pick a number? You know why we don't want to just pick a number? Is because the moment we do that, we all lose. The kingdom loses. You lose. See, game change is not about just that number. If we just make it about a number, then that's what we make the whole deal about. That's not what it's about. See, here's the thing. God is way more interested in the posture of your heart when you fill out this commitment envelope 2 weeks from today. When you say, God, here's what I'm going to write a check for on that day, he's way more interested in the posture of your heart in surrender than he is the size of that check. Let me say that again. March 13th, 2 weeks from today, when we fill out this commitment envelope and we put our first fruits offering and we say over the next 3 years, here's what I'm going to give. God's way more interested than the amount of that three-year commitment or that check. That he's more interested in the posture of your heart when you make that commitment. That's what we're talking about. See, the size of the checks are going to vary as much as there are people in this room. All right, it's going to vary. Every commitment is going to be different. But see, here's the thing. I tell you what. You know, when we're all engaged, when we're all, you know, saying, God, what is it you're calling me uniquely to do with what you've given me? And when we follow through on that, guess what? The kingdom wins. Guess what? You win because you grow. You go to a different level of surrender. We just make it about a number, then the kingdom loses. And we lose because we don't come to a place of deeper surrender. Take a look at this compelling statement that's made about Samuel right here. You know, this is when this writer's looking at Samuel's life and how he had this ability to hear from God. Take a look at what it says. It says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, you know, saying that everything that Samuel said happened exactly the way he said it would? I mean, this is a dude that grew up to be a kingmaker. This was a guy who became the mouthpiece for the nation of Israel. This is a guy when 2 weeks ago when we talked about David and Goliath and this guy named Samuel going to the tribe of Jesse and saying, I want to see your sons because I'm going to pick the next king is coming from your tribe. And he looks at all of his older sons and said, these aren't it. These aren't it. Are there any more? And they say, well, we got this kid brother David out in the field. This is the Samuel that goes out in the field. And when he meets this little boy David managing these sheep, he says, this is the one. This is the one. This is the one who's going to defeat the Goliaths of our world. See, Samuel lived his life in such a way by creating space to hear from God that he had the ability. It says that none of his words fell to the ground. See, this is the opportunity that you and I, all of us have as we engage in this journey. See, we can choose to live our lives out of reason or we can live it out of revelation. We can live out of reason or we can live out of revelation. Let me tell you what does reason look like? Reason is the way the game's always played. Reason is, well, this is the reasonable thing that I ought to do right here. Reason is, this is the reasonable amount that I ought to contribute. One that's manageable, that, oh yeah, it's not gonna, you know, this is the one I think I can do. That's the way the game's always played. But see, we have the opportunity to be people who hear from God, whose actions are in line with what God is calling us to, whose lives, whose commitments are in line with what God is uniquely saying to each and every one of us. And God says, when you are in line with me, it will never fall to the ground. It'll never fall to the ground. So we have the ability to live out a reason or the power of revelation as we hear from God. And if that's what we desire, which I think that's what we desire, then the only thing I want to encourage us to do this week, is to lengthen our listen. I want to encourage you to lengthen your listen this week. All right, we're going to give you some prompts in the app to do that. I want you to allow Scripture to fine-tune your heart this week and spend increased times lengthening your listen. Spend increased times in community with your small group. You know, there's something that happens when I talk with my small group. Hey, here's some of the things God's nudging in my life. What do you think about this? Is this something of God? Is this not of God? These are the things that cause us and allow us to live out a revelation. Can you imagine the power of a team that's living that way? So, we're on a journey. And once you take out your connection cards or your app, if you're filling out the online connection card, there's some next steps this week that I want to encourage. And so we're putting all kinds of things in front of you as you go through this journey, you know, to grow you, to help you hear God, and to get in line with where God wants to take us. And so some of the next steps, I'll complete the game change prompts this week. Go into the app, find the week three app prompts and engage with them this week. You're going to be, for day number one, you're just going to be immersed in Scripture of allowing God to speak to you. All right? If you're going to do that, mark it out. I mean, just say right now, I'm going to do that. You know, make sure you're in your group. There's a power in community. Make sure you get in your group. If you don't have a group, there's still time to find a group. Go in the app and find a group. All right? This Wednesday, first one ever. We're excited about this. And I tell you what, if you've been coming to Crosspoint, you're like, man, I want to go deeper. I want to go to the next level. First Wednesday is for you. We're going to be taking a look at some of the outrageous things Jesus challenges us with. The outrageous things, if we're really interested in going deeper, that Jesus says, hey, here's the next step for you. And so join us here, 7 o'clock this Wednesday. Be here next weekend. Right? Being a part of the weekends is a key part of staying in tune with this journey. And then on March 13th, we're all going to be saying, okay, God, what am I bringing? So maybe you even want to say today, God, I'm going to continue to discern. I'm making the commitment. I want to be a part of this. I just want to continue to get clear in what you're asking of me. You can mark that as your next step. Now, before we let you guys go here, we're gonna leave in kind of this moment doing a very practical next step right in line with what I've talked about today. All right, and so grab your weekly and a pen, or if you've been taking notes in your app, you can pull your app open, and I want to give you an exercise, and I want you to write a few things down that really has been something that's helped me hear from God. And so, you know, because I want to know what God is saying. He communicates to me all the time. And one of the things that we can do, you know, Scripture is alive and active. That's what the Bible says. So it's actually constantly speaking things into my life when I create the space. And a lot of times when I feel like, man, God's not saying anything to me, it has more to do with my posture than it does with God's communication. As with me not being in a place of being ready to receive what God has. So, when I read, I try to not read for volume, all right? I try to not just read a bunch of chapters at one time. I just read a couple verses, and I really try to hone in on those verses and ask two questions. I want to give you those two questions. I want you to write these down. All right, here's the two questions. The first question is, God, what is it that you're trying to say to me right here about your character? God, what is it you're trying to say to me right here about you? What is it you're trying to say to me about what you value or what makes your heart beat fast? God, what is it that you are wanting to say to me about maybe what you've done for me? What you want me to see about how you've been a part of my life? And then the second question is, God, what do you want me to see about myself? What do you want me to maybe see that will speak something into me about something that shouldn't be in my life? Maybe something like worry or anxiety. God, what is it that you want me to see or maybe receive, maybe a promise that you want me to see about myself that comes from you? And so these are a couple of the questions that allow me to lengthen my listen anytime I read Scripture with any passage. Every time I read it, I say, God, what jumps out to me about this passage? What's a phrase in here that you really want me to take to heart right here? Because often that's where God is nudging and shaping and confirming things for me. So I want to read Matthew chapter 6 right now, just three verses. I want to give us the opportunity to do this right now. And PJ and the band are going to play here a bit and give us a little bit of space so we can just lengthen our listen before we break out of this time today. And so as you listen to these words, I want you to think, you know, what word's popping out? Write that word down. What phrase? What might God be saying to me about his character here? What might God be saying to me about myself? All right, so I just want to read the passage and then I want to pray for us. And that God would speak to us in this moment. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, about what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to its span of life? Just sit under that for a moment. Consider that. Let me pray for us. God, I'm praying right now that as we do just that, as we sit under this promise, God, that you would speak to us. That you would bring words or phrases or ideas to our mind, even questions, maybe things we want to dig deeper on about what you're wanting to grow us in right now. And so, God, we just want to write those down, and we want to be open to your promptings over these next moments. So, God, just speak. We're ready to listen.